Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome to the program. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm delighted to be talking with Jeff Clark. Jeff Clark is the Senior Precious Metals Analyst from goldsilver.com. Welcome to the program, Jeff. Great to see you.
Kerry, it's great to be with you. It's been a long time since I've seen you, but so glad we're meeting up here.
Yeah, in this funny old COVID world where we can only do it by Zoom, we normally see each other at various conferences around the world, but goodness knows when they're going to come back. But I really, really appreciate your time, Jeff. I know it's a very busy time for you at the moment, but let's get straight into it. First of all, let's tell our viewers a little bit about your background and how you come to being a precious metals analyst and why you're so fascinated by what I call money.
Right. Very good. Well, my family has owned mining claims, actually, in California, Nevada, Arizona. My dad got into that. He had some partners with some of the claims, others he did on his own. But I got exposed to that through my father, who took an early retirement, and that became his job. And he dove into it head first. He became a prospector, and he loved it. And he did get pretty good at it. He won some gold panning contests.
Wow.
Yes, there are such things. And he was part of a group that when you bought a new metal detector, he was part of the group that would guarantee that you would find gold when they took you out and showed you how to use this metal detector. That's how good he got. So, admittedly, the gold that you would find would be pretty small, but that's what they did. So anyway, that was kind of my introduction to the business. It's fun. I like getting outdoors, but it's a lot of work. There's a lot of digging and panning and bending over and driving to places where there's no roads and seeing lots of snakes and
Did you start at a very young age, Jeff? And at times, did you think this is all too hard?
Actually, no. It's sort of like a second career for both my dad and for myself. He was an electrical contractor, but like I said, he retired early, moved to California in his 50s, and really got involved in this. He's older now. He's not able to do it any longer. But my interest became more in investing in gold and silver, not trying to dig around and try to find it. Finding it is kind of like fishing. You never know what you're going to find or how long it's going to take, if you're going to find anything, So I got more involved in the investing side, and I was always told I was a good writer, and long story short, I hooked up with Casey Research and became a newsletter writer for them, and off I went as a gold silver analyst. So
did you spend a lot of time looking at gold deposits? Did you go out and look at the mines and understand more about what it takes to not just prospect, but to actually find this precious metal?
Right. Yes. Yeah. So I did a lot of that with my dad, because some of the deposits that they found weren't really going to become mechanized deposits, meaning where they would move in large equipment to try to, these were smaller deposits where they were going to do it themselves type of thing. He did find a couple. The group he was with found a couple they tried to sell, and it did not work because you got to go big or go home, right, in this industry. And it was just too small to really attract a mining company. But I learned a lot from that. And then when I got to goldsilver.com, I have to, give a shout out to Louis James there. He was kind of my mentor, when I got there. And a lot of what I've learned came directly from him. And now, of course, I'm off doing it on my own. But I did learn a lot there, a lot of mining tours all over Canada, Mexico, China. The only place I didn't get was Australia. So I'm still waiting for that invite, Kerry.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we've closed the borders to you guys at the moment. You know, we are definitely an island these days.
I can't wait till it reopens.
Yeah, mate, we'll get you down here. It's a crazy time at the moment. But look, let's go into, because a lot of people out there, and I am passionate, people know I'm a gold nerd. I'm passionate about the fact that gold is money, the rest is just credit. So let's hear your views on money, gold, silver, versus currency, and where you think that's sitting today while governments are going crazy and printing the paper, the funny money, as I call it.
It's interesting you bring this up, because Mike Maloney, who I work with at goldsilver.com, he's the founder. This is a big issue with him, is we need to start calling gold and silver money and call these things currency. This is not money. This is money.
Absolutely.
That's a Philharmonic, a 1 ounce gold Philharmonic, you know. So currency, money.
Currency, funny
there
money.
There you go. Money, right?
Where's my money?
And the reason it's money is because, going all the way back to Aristotle, you know, this is currency. It's a medium of exchange, but it's not a store of value. And that's the big issue. You know, the dollar, I don't know about the Australian dollar, but the US dollar lost something like 96% of its purchasing power since the creation of the Federal Reserve. So in just a little over 100 years. So that's not a store of value when you have something that is just constantly leaking value. In fact, I just did a report a week or two ago and just looked at the CPI, the Consumer Price Index for the US, and the US dollar has lost 44.2% of its purchasing power just since the year 2000.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true. And that's right from the government's own numbers. And of course, they've changed the CPI so many times over the years that we don't even think that's really all that accurate. It's probably more than that.
People don't understand this loss of purchasing power, do they, Jeff? Because all they see is, I've got money, I can spend money. How do we get people to open their eyes to the fact that you are losing purchasing power, do you think?
Yeah, even low inflation. We have low inflation, okay? Inflation is defined by the Fed, not the currency dilution type of inflation. But even that is, it's low. It's been 2% hovering around there, maybe a little less. But even just low inflation, that shows you you've lost almost half your purchasing power just in the last 20 years. How do we get people to realize that? I think it might take a little bit higher inflation for people to realize that, oh, wow, I need more dollars to purchase the same container of chocolate ice cream.
That's a good way of looking at it.
That's my example.
and I use down here, I say to people, it's called stealth inflation. And by that, I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, you'd buy a packet of very famous biscuits. I won't mention them just in case I get myself into trouble, but there used to be a dozen. And now it's the same size packaging, but there's only 10. So it's stealth inflation. People don't actually realize that they're getting less. So the prices don't go up, but what you get is less.
Right, exactly. That the ice cream that I like, they did the same exact thing. They kept the price the same, but they lowered the container by a little bit. And that's still inflation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of us in the community understand that, in the gold, silver community. But a lot of the mainstream doesn't. They just see low inflation, you know, and they go about their business. They don't worry about it. But I think when inflation really starts to rise, and I do think that's inevitable at some point, I think that's when it's going to start to kick in for people. And I think that's when we want to make sure we're in front of them with a message of what gold and silver can do for them, especially gold, you know.
Yeah, well, let's talk about gold. I mean, I often talk to people about gold and they're like, well, what? I don't really care. It doesn't give me an income. It's not an investment. And I'm saying, you don't necessarily look at it as an investment. You look at it as a way of protecting your wealth and generational wealth. So what would you say to people who say, I don't want to own gold? It's as some people would say, it doesn't give me an investment. It's not like the share market. We can talk about that as well. You know, what would you say to those people?
Well, gold is and it is not technically an investment. It's money. So it's kind of like that person saying, well, I don't want to hold any of these because they don't spit out any dividends or interest or anything like that. They don't until you invest it in something. And of course, that's where maybe mining stocks could come in, you know, for gold. But the issue is that it's a good thing that gold doesn't spit out dividends or have to report earnings or free cash flow. Leave that to the Warren Buffetts and all the other stocks of the world. You don't want your gold to have to worry to do that. That's not what gold is designed to do. And that's a good thing. You want your money to be more stable and not fluctuate based solely on what the earnings are or the free cash flow is, or are they going to raise dividends? Oh, are they going to, are dividends going to, you know, fall because of what happened? So you don't have to worry about it that with gold, because gold is money. And so that's the critical distinction I think that people need to realize. Again, I think they'll start to realize that once we really get into, I think we're in a bull market now, but once the price really starts making new highs and that brings more attention, people see simultaneously see the loss of purchasing power in their dollars, I think that'll begin to make a difference.
Do you think, Pete, I do find that a lot of people focus on the actual price of gold. Now, here in Australia, of course, and probably most countries around the world, gold has hit all-time highs. You know, I remember back in 2011, and the US dollar gold price was 1911. We haven't hit that yet. But in Australia, and at that stage, Australia was on parity with the US dollar. So we got to about, I think it was 1920 in Australian dollar terms, but right now it's 2,500 Australian dollars. So it's high. But I say to people, stop looking at the number and just realize that it's the way for you to protect your wealth. Do you see that we are right now, it's an interesting time in history, we are 100% on a fiat money system. And the what do you feel are the ramifications of the world being on a 100% fiat currency system?
That's a good question, because it's for the first time in recorded history that we know of that every single currency circulating around the world is fiat. Before this, there's always been at least one and usually a lot of currencies that were backed by gold or gold and silver or some other, you know, currency or commodity or whatever the case may be. This is the first time that we know of in recorded history that every single currency is fiat around the world. So the answer to your question is, we don't know.
Yeah.
There's no precedent. There's no historical data to draw from as to what, you know, how this could possibly play out. But obviously this makes the risk very high, and it makes the ability for governments literally everywhere in the world to dilute their currency, which is exactly what they're doing. And I think once that really starts to play out into the economy, we haven't had the real world effects yet of any kind of inflation or this monetary dilution. But once that kicks in, that's going to have some very serious ramifications, I think.
Oh, I totally agree with you. But how long do you think we can continue to kick the can down the road? I remember back a couple of years ago, you know, even going back to 2008, you would have thought that the global financial crisis, we could have had a bit of a reset, but no. Let's just keep the kicking the can down the road. And it seems to me like the printing presses are going ever faster, and obviously asset prices are going up. But we still don't have anybody, well, very few people understanding the difference between money and currency. And most people just look at currency and say, I've got some currency. It doesn't really worry me about understand.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change until it smacks them across the face. I hate to say. I really think so. And I think it's probably going to be inflation. I wish I could answer the question exactly of how long they can kick the can down the road, because we could all make a lot of money if we knew the answer to that. But when you have the Fed and other central bankers doing, I mean, they only have a couple tools and they've already used one, which is the lower interest rates. how much lower can you go, right?
Well, we've gone negative, haven't we? And in some parts of the world, you're going to have to pay to have your money left in the bank. It's crazy times, Jeff.
And I don't know if the Fed will go to negative or not. Maybe they don't, because they can just keep printing money.
Yeah.
They can just keep printing currency and diluting it massively. And
so yeah.
I think that's
the thing.
Their strategy, and as long as they think they can do that, they'll continue to do that. The question is, when does that confidence game in the Fed evaporate to the point not where people like you and I don't have faith in the Fed, but where mainstream Wall Street traders, institutions, et cetera, begin to lose that faith? When that happens, there's going to be some major fallout for that, major ramifications. Gold and silver will be a direct beneficiary.
Well, let's talk about the fact that we've spoken about currency versus money. We've spoken a little bit, we've touched a little bit on equities, but there's different ways that you can invest in money. And those are, and I personally, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I am not a financial advisor, neither is Jeff. Please do your own research, all right? We're having a discussion to try and alert you to the fact that our opinion is that money is gold and silver, the rest is credit, and we want you to wake up, do your own research, and understand the different ways that you can protect and potentially grow your wealth. So, Jeff, let's talk about all the different ways that people can buy. There's physical gold and silver, there's equities, there's ETFs, there's royalties. Can you give us your views on each one of those? Because people get very confused about how to invest.
Well, first of all, I personally don't buy the bullion ETFs. They're convenient. They're not expensive. But they all they're doing is giving you price exposure, right? So you have exposure to the price of gold or the price of silver or whatever the case may be. But I think everybody needs gold in their portfolio, but I think you need physical gold for lifestyle protection. You need gold for portfolio protection, but you need physical gold for lifestyle protection. In other words, you might actually need the physical, that having price exposure may not be good enough. And let's remember, these are all paper funds, and so they could disconnect. There could be problems. There's counterparty risk there. We've already seen GDX and GDXJ, the mining ETFs, they've separated on several days back in March during the big downdraft, the big correction. They actually separated from their underlying assets temporarily.
Didn't know that.
They did. It was causing a lot of consternation for people that owned them. Now, it corrected itself, but obviously if you own something, you want it to track the underlying asset, right? I think, you know, in the next wave, we could see, a GLD or maybe a smaller bullion ETF actually separate if they can't meet delivery, if they can't get the gold that they want. All it takes is one headline like that and people could flee that fund. So even with the gold price going up. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that's a risk. I don't have that risk with this. I don't have it. I own it. It's mine. There's no counterparty risk. I don't have to worry about it. And I can trade it in immediately for cash if I need it in an emergency. And I think having that gives you that buffer. That's one purpose. That's one reason to own physical gold, is so you can turn it in immediately in any kind of emergency. And
let's talk about that that gold. I mean, you've shown, I think that's a 1 ounce gold coin, correct?
Yeah, that's a 1 ounce gold. That's a Philharmonic.
It's a Philharmonic.
I like those because they're a little bit bigger than an eagle, you know? They're flatter, but they're bigger. So I love them.
Okay. So my question to you is, when people look on various websites like goldsilver.com, maybe, you know, there's so many different sizes of gold and weight, you know, 1 ounce, a gram. I mean, I've got a gram in here somewhere. I keep the rest in a vault. What do you think that they should be buying? Should they be buying 1 ounce eagles? Should they be buying a kilo bar? I mean, what's your recommendation for people that are understanding that they want exposure to gold, but they're not quite sure what to buy? Bars, coins,
the key to what to buy is what you want to sell. And what I mean by that is, let's say we get a situation where you do need to sell some of these, or even just one, because you need it, you need the cash. You know, you can't wait for a check from your brokerage fund from selling an ETF, or there's a breakdown in communication, or there's a delay, or anything like that at all, but you need some cash right away. So what will you need that for? Are you looking to buy a car, or are you looking to buy groceries? And so you want to have something that is in denominations that you can sell and turn into cash as quickly and easily as possible in case you need to be able to do that. So you could use silver for that. You could use gold. I don't like owning, you know, really large 1,000-ounce silver bars or large kilo bars of gold. Now, for very high net worth people, you probably do want to have some kilo bars. But for the average person, they just need something that they can turn into cash easily and quickly. And so what that means for me is probably sovereign coins, Eagles, Maple Leafs, Philharmonics, etc. And probably in a denomination
that kookaburras down here, Jeff, kookaburras.
And there you kangaroos. Go. Exactly. I've got some of those in storage too, yes.
All right, so that's a good look at that sort of thing. ETFs, you don't look at that as a way for people to protect their wealth, because it is really just tracking the gold price rather than owning the gold.
Yeah, you don't own any gold. Yeah. And in most cases, you can't get any gold. Yeah. You know, GLD allows for delivery, but that's for institutional investors. They still have to be approved. They may not be approved, or there may not be enough gold to deliver to them as to what they want. And those ETFs that do allow for gold delivery to small retail investors, it's expensive. It takes time. You have to pay for it. And again, what if they can't get it? They have to fabricate what you want. So if you want a 1 ounce gold eagle, well, they don't own any 1 ounce gold eagles. They own large bars. So they have to go out and buy a gold eagle for you and ship it to you. Yeah. What if they can't get that? And that's, we've already seen that happen. We saw it happen in 2008 and 2009. We've seen it happen earlier this year. If silver is screaming to $50 and gold is screaming to 3,000 or 5,000 or whatever, it's going to be hard to get. And I think you need to have it now, and you need to have it in a denomination that you want, and have the real thing and not a paper thing.
Okay, so you mentioned two prices there, $50 silver, $3,000 gold. I know that lots of people turn around to me and say, Kez, you've been talking about that for years. And, you know, go back to 2011, you haven't even hit those high. What is the difference now that you believe, and other commentators that I've been speaking to, see that there is going to be a move within the next little while? We're not talking a decade down the road. Why do you think now is the time that we're going to see a move in gold and silver?
Well, first, gold has moved. It was 1050 at its low in 2015. I think it was the end of 2015. And look at it now. It's over $1,800 an ounce. So it has moved. But going forward, it's not about the price of gold so much as it is the price of everything else. Yeah. It's what everything else is doing in relation to gold that someone wants to pay attention to. And so someone may look at the gold price in Australian dollars or US dollars and say, wow, that's expensive. Well, it's relative to everything else. Where's everything else going relative to the price of gold? Yeah. And if we get inflation, the gold price is only going to go up. There's always corrections, but the trend is clearly going to be up. And so that's a way to protect your assets against, you know, everything else going up in price.
Let's talk about gold equities, because right now, especially here in Australia, I haven't looked over there in the US or Canada, but here in Australia, some of the junior mining stocks are on a tear. Now, I caution people right now, because I see a number of people that are jumping in without due diligence and without fully understanding and looking at more as speculation or a casino rather than investing. What is your view on investing in gold equities, and what would your advice be to those people listening today?
Well, this is my favorite topic of all time, mining stocks. Being a mining analyst and all that, you know, I love it. But yes, for context, they have run up quite a bit. You know, a mining stock that's doubled since March is almost your losing stock. They've done that well. They're, many have tripled, quadrupled. I'm personally sitting on two that have done 5X just since March.
Wow.
So the context is you have to be aware that this is what has happened. Now, I'm not saying if they've peaked or that there's going to be a correction tomorrow. I'm just saying be aware they've already run up quite a bit. You are, when you get into the mining shares, you are sitting down at the blackjack table at the casino. So you have to be aware of that. And you may be dealt a two card, you know, right away. So you have to be aware of this. So the strategy, I think, for me, I have been taking profits. So full disclosure on that, just because it's more of a portfolio allocation decision, if you will, just because they've run up so much.
Yeah.
So you have to be aware of this. And I think the issue is to look for some type of dip or correction or something before you buy, and to stagger your buying, to buy in tranches. You know, don't throw all your money in tomorrow, but buy in some tranches like that. Ultimately, I do think mining stocks are going much, much higher. And the reason I think that is because I think gold and silver are going higher. So it starts with what you believe about gold and silver itself and what you think they're going to do. Silver just broke $19 for the first time since last September. So it's just kind of breaking out. We'll see. But it's dramatically undervalued relative to gold, as we know from the gold-silver ratio. Gold's at 1,800 near all-time highs. But that doesn't matter. What matters is, where is gold and silver going over the next 1 to 3 years? I think they're going much higher. Since I think they're going higher, I think mining stocks are likely to go much higher as well. And of course, they have leverage to gold and silver. That's the great thing about them. You know, a small rise in the price of gold or silver, you know, you can see earnings double, yeah, you know, from some of these producers. And so that's the leverage you can get from them. And that's why they can be so exciting. So just be aware of the current context and start with what your what you believe gold and silver are going to do. And just, you know, don't throw all your money into them. Right.
Yeah. Hedge and diversify. Hedge and diversify, ladies and gentlemen. Question for you, Jeff. Explorers, developers, or producers? What's your preferred in gold mining stocks?
So, you know, full disclosure, I've been a mining analyst for a while, so I'm comfortable with the level of risk I'm taking, which is pretty high compared to what probably the average person should take, or someone who hasn't been in the industry or doesn't know a lot about them. You know, my Twitter handle, I say financial planners shriek at my portfolio. And they do. I mean, a financial planner would look at my portfolio, they'd be like, oh my God, you know? So I eat further down the food chain. I'm more into the juniors and explorers. I really love the pre-producers, those companies that are about to go into production, because they usually get a re-rating, right? Because they've been nothing but, you know, spending cash, and now they're going to generate cash. So there's usually a re-rating there. So I love those. I do own a couple producers. One is First Majestic Silver, and the other one is Equinox Gold. But I owned Equinox Gold when it was a pre-producer, so
yeah,
I did take profits on it and held on to it. So I don't spend a lot of time in the producers. You know, when you've had a few wins with the juniors, the producers can be kind of boring, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them
are.
But
again, you know, I'm not a mining stock investor. I'm a mining stock speculator. And you have to have that mindset when you go in. And so what that means is you're looking for the best stories, the best projects, the best people. That's where you start.
Absolutely. Start with the people.
And you don't invest all your money in one or two. You're going to have to buy, you know, at least a half dozen, if not a dozen of these things, because they're not all going to work out. And that's a key to understand, is you have to diversify what you own if you're going to buy mining stocks. You can't just buy one or two. So
that's really good advice. So before we finish up, we don't have a lot of time left. I want to ask you two questions. Why hasn't silver kept pace with gold? There's, you know, the silver has lagged a lot. Why do you see that happening?
This is actually historically normal. So I went back and looked at every precious metals bull market since, Nixon took us off the gold standard back in 71. Thank you. 75 is when we could buy again, right? I looked at all of them, and every single one, gold led, silver trailed, but also in every single one, silver caught up to gold and passed it on a percentage return basis every single time. So what's actually happened so far is historically normal for gold to lead and silver to trail. And so what's next is for silver to catch up and pass it. Now, whether that starts now or takes another 2 years, I can't answer that. Yeah. I think it's most likely to happen when we do see inflation really start to tick up, and that might be happening now. But I think that's probably going to happen. If we're in a precious metals bull market, I do think silver is going to do that, because investors, when uncertainty first strikes, they turn to gold. They don't turn to silver, and silver doesn't have a good track record of performing well during recessions, stock market crashes. It tends to be weak. So once you get through that, that's when silver, I think, can catch up. I do think that's in our future.
Okay, that's good to know. Let's talk very quickly about the other precious metals, platinum, palladium. Do you see those as potential investments? I mean, right now we know that, platinum markets are South Africa and Russia, and South Africa and Russia are both tricky jurisdictions. What do you see for the future of those two metals?
So we went back and looked at historically, what have platinum and palladium done during recessions and stock market crashes? Same thing as I did with silver. And they do not have a good track record at all. The time when they tend to do well is either during A, inflation, or B, during some type of supply-demand crunch, which is kind of what we've had with palladium, right? And maybe now we'll be seeing that with platinum. So I might favor platinum a little more than palladium right now. But I personally don't own either one, in full disclosure, just because I'm more about hedging crisis and capitalizing on that through the mining shares of those two, of gold and silver, if I can. So I don't personally own them, but they could definitely do well if we get inflation.
It's all about the inflation, isn't it? Now, but before we go, I want to do a couple of things. Firstly, for my listeners out there, you can see gold, silver in the background of Jeff there. That's goldsilver.com. Yeah. I want you all to go to goldsilver.com and download Mike Maloney's book about investing in gold and silver. Number one. Number two, I want you to go to YouTube and look up Hidden Secrets of Money. It's an 11-part series. It's amazing. Mike Maloney does so much for this market, doesn't he? What are your views on Mike's Hidden Secrets of Money? It's a great series, isn't it?
It is. It's movie quality length. It's a movie quality production, movie quality length. They're fun to watch. They're very educational. Mike has studied this for countless hours. It's his life's work. Yeah. And he's working on a new book now. So there won't be another episode of Hidden Secrets of Money real soon. There'll probably be a book first. And then he'll do some videos around that as well. But it's very educational. It really opens your eyes, starting with the difference between money and currency. So it's very well worth your time.
So any final thoughts from you, Jeff, to our investment community out there, some of whom understand gold and silver, but the majority are scratching their heads going, why do I bother?
I think you need to bother because the future remains uncertain. Central bankers are going to continue to dilute currency, and none of the issues that caused them to print currency in the first place have been resolved. They're all still there. And we really see no real world effects of all of this. And when that begins to play out, there could be, I hope it doesn't get too bad, but I do expect some turmoil. of which gold and silver will be a direct beneficiary of. So I think that's the reason. It's not the gold and silver price as much as it is relative to everything else. And that's why I think they're still going much higher, because everything else is going to suffer in whether it's stagflation or inflation or whatever the case may be. I don't think this is over. I think there's a lot to go yet. And that's the reason to own them.
Wow. Okay. So Jeff Clark, how can people find you? How can they read? You do a lot of research. You do writing. How can people find your research, your writings, and how do they follow you on various social media platforms?
Yeah, so it's very simple, goldsilver.com. And then we have our own exclusive research that we do that comes from mostly Mike and myself. You can sign up for our newsletter there. If they sign up for the newsletter, then they actually get it before we release it to the public. So it might be worthwhile to some people to get. And we don't just do news things. We have a news page, but the work that we do, the research we do, is in-depth, data-driven research that is more useful than just reading a headline. And so hopefully people would get something out of it. And then I do, I am fairly active on Twitter. I don't always like it, but I am active on it. And my Twitter handle is at the Gold Advisor. You have to have the in there. And I did agree when I first got on that I would reveal my personal buys and sells there for mining shares. And so I do that if that's of interest to people. So
that's awesome. Okay. Well, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Clark giving you lots of tips and directions and things to watch out for. And the fact that now is the time to stop watching broke flicks, often known as Netflix, and start reading people like Jeff Clark, who understands the difference between money and currency and can guide you on the way to protect and preserve your wealth in the coming disruption. Jeff Clark, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I enjoyed it, Carrie, and let's do it again soon.